yearning to play a few rounds of Gwent. That ought to set me straight.
Welcome to Commander's Horn episode 18. We are live. Happy New Year. First episode back since the holiday break. We are excited to talk to you about where you and we might think Gwent will be going in the next year. We're also going to be covering certain Commander's Horn hosts' championship deck. All this and so much more on this episode of Commander's Horn. So live right now, Josh. So live right now.
Oh, man. I love the music. I live
you,
for this.
You love the music that you can absolutely hear? You can totally hear the music that I'm playing.
I totally can. I'm dancing in my head by myself.
And in your chair with me. That's the beauty of the show. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on episode 18 of Commander's Horn. I am one of your hosts, Dane McBeard, and I am joined, as always, by the Man of Steel himself, Josh Greyboxer. How was your holidays?
Hey, thanks for the amazing intro, as always. And my holidays were excellent. Mm-hmm. I had an amazing Christmas and a fantastic New Year. How about you?
I as well had a fantastic Christmas and an amazing New Year. And since we're live, I know a lot of you have seen this kind of stuff, but I did get some Gwent goodies.
You're going to show off your hat?
I got this cool hat. Somebody in my family who is very close to me made me a hat because they are my biggest fan. Thanks very much to that. For that, and I'm gonna be wearing it. There's also a mug as well involved in this package. It's like a real sort of like super geek gift basket. So
he's like geeking out, showing off all of his loot from his family that seems to support his awesome hobby.
Yeah,
I haven't told anyone.
Well, it took me a while, I think, to tell people that I go on the internet and I talk about video games, but I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the work we do. I'm proud of the content we do. I think we work very hard on it. Thanks very much.
It's really amazing, in fact. And no one can understand how awesome it is to be a part of this podcast more than I can, because I used to not be a part of this podcast. I was on my own listening to a McBeard who was on his own many months ago. And after a few emails and some chat about baseball, here we are.
You know, it was the baseball chat that I think won me over. I'm like, Andy likes baseball? Well, then, yeah, I mean, come on.
We're in, man.
But, yeah, the first three episodes were just me. And it's funny, you can listen to, well, you can if you want. I listened to the first one, just like a little bit of it the other day.
Just for fun.
It's
back in time.
I don't know if fun is the word I'd use after I heard it, but, you know, we got to start somewhere. I was very much more reserved, talking slowly with long, sleepy interludes.
Hey,
anyway, I did get these enamel pins here.
The mostest, and it was excellent.
I got these enamel pins for my Secret Santa. These are the Witcher signs. For the audio-only listeners, these are enamel pins for the Yurden, Axie, Quen, Igni, and Ard signs, plus the School of the Wolf symbol. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool Secret Santa gift.
Yeah.
I may or may not have asked for it. I also got this nice book right here, The Last Wish, collection of the short stories, introducing The Witcher. And I also got The Sword of Destiny, which is the second in that series. So I'm currently working my way through that.
This stream is becoming you showing off your Christmas presents to a live audience.
I just, you know, I had to ask for what I wanted. And when I find that this is kind of already consuming my life, so why doesn't it just consume my Christmas as well?
Yeah. So apparently we're sticking with Greybeard. With the nickname Caradan, is that it?
Greybeard? Is that our combo name? Team Greybeard?
Yeah, Nub is saying that our beards aren't gray, though, and I think if you take a closer look, you'd find some.
Yeah, you could find some, although it's weird. I'm not a redhead, but there's a lot of red hairs in my beard, so they're going to go silver. Silver.
McBragger? More like Mick Jagger.
McBragger? Hey, I asked for my gifts. Just because I'm a 33-year-old man getting Christmas gifts, it doesn't mean that I'm any different than any of you.
Hey, so are we going to talk about Gwent today?
Yeah, we should talk about Gwent because this is Commander's Horn Podcast. This is your only weekly Commander's Horn Podcast, and we post normally when we are not live. We do record on Wednesdays and post weekly on Thursdays. Today, we are live on Thursday. You can live TV.
It's true.
You You can find Commander's Horn on iTunes, where we do post it. You can find us on Stitcher as well. And you can also find us on other podcasting apps that pick up our feed. If you have a platform you'd like to find us on, please let us know. And we would love to make sure that we are as accessible as possible. We do love when the community reaches out as well. So please, we invite you to be part of the show with your questions, comments, etc. Email us
right now.
You can also email us at commandershornpodcast@gmail.com. Tweet at us at commandershorn. We love reading about hilarious Gwent moments, suggestions for the show, guests you'd like to see on future casts, topics you might like to cover. If you just want to say hello, that's fine with us as well.
Yeah, and we actually get into a pretty cool email later today, so we do appreciate the emails that you guys send in, and we like to make them a part of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we asked a lot of questions today, so we're going to be talking about some stuff today. We have some news to go into. We also want to cover, in our strategy section, we're going to be talking about, let's not give it away, but I was not part of any tournament winnings over the break, but Grey Boxer was, so his deck... he did it in style, as only he can, by his beard. So let's talk about Scoia'tael Dwarves a little later today. And, of course, we have community feedback. We ask you all, what would you like to see out of the next year of Gwent? So we'll be talking about that for sure. So
And we're not talking only about dwarves. It wouldn't be a very good strategy section if we only talked about a dwarven deck because reasons. So we do cover a very popular Scoia'tael deck that... you've been playing a good bit of, provided to you by a Nub.
It's true. I would say I haven't been playing a good bit of, but you and I had a lot of scrims last night, so I could get a better handle on it. And yes, a friend of the show, Nub, did provide me with a deck list that he thinks would help me in my trying to rank up with random monster deck that I create 5 minutes before I stream type thing. Yeah. So to improve my performance, we are going to be talking about a top-tier Scoia'tael deck that can be found way at the top of the ladder as well. But we'll be going into that just after this quick break. All right, so the first thing, I think we're going to talk about the second thing first, if that's okay, Josh, because I want to talk about the December Beta Brawl Championships. On December 28th, I had the pleasure of being joined and hosted by Faramir, who was also a guest on the show earlier in the year, and he was able to cut together some great video that showcased double point of view. You could see both hands as well, and we got to see some top level competitive Gwent play over the holidays. So I would like to say thank you very much for everybody who tuned in. Congratulations to the first place winner, Back to Kill, the second place winner, Randy of Sintra, and in third place, the Mahaka Master, the Bearded Brawler, the Real American Hero, Grey Boxer!
By my beard! As if we didn't brag enough on this podcast already.
Well, I was just going by the podium. So, yes, Back to Kill and Randy of Sintra did get first and second place. So I didn't yell their names, but I'm just proud of you, Josh. I'm proud of you. You did it with dwarves and you did it with style. How was that? Talk to us about the championship. How did you find it? How did you find the league leading up to it? Let's chat about it a little bit.
Well, I got to say that Gwendolyn did a great job coming up with a Swiss format as like a league style of play. So for each round, and there were 7 rounds of the Swiss format, you had 2 days to complete 3 matches versus your opponent, and that leading up to a culmination of a top 8 battle. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the league format was really excellent, and it really helped, you know, kind of, you know, people work with the best decks they could get their hands on, and then proceed to the top 8, and then the top 8 was just a straight up like battle. I mean, it was the competition was incredibly close, and I think at the end of the day, the best player won. Back to Kill 2-0'd me. I think the only person in the tournament to 2-0 me, and did so easily. And then he just dominated, it seems like, for the entire tournament. So big congratulations to Back to Kill, and especially to Randy of Sintra, who put me down quite sadly in the bronze match. But I felt like the tournament as a Swiss format was excellent. I feel like the finals as a top eight was awesome. Mm-hmm. I know that we do have news on this. The new tournament, sponsored by the Gwentleman, has a slightly varied format from that I think improves on it. But all in all, I think the December Beta Brawl was great.
I really did like the league format. It really felt like I was kind of part of something that was happening, like, you know, like kind of like a baseball league. Like, oh, every Thursday, you know, you grab your bat, you go. So it was like every 48 hours, we had one matchup to deal with. We didn't have to lose our weekends to anything. And we've talked about this, of course, before. I think everybody knows how much I love the league format. But I just want to give a call out to the top eight. We do know who won, but the top eight, Mortan went undefeated in the league. He won all seven of his games, although he was eliminated by BJ the Brave in the top eight starting. Sorry, he was eliminated by BJ the Brave, dropped to the loser's bracket, and then Dunkoro was there to eliminate Mortan. But I just want to say that going 7-0 in the league is should be worth its own accolade. So congratulations to Mortan. So your top eight champions of the December Beta Brawl League: Mortan, BJ the Brave, Randy of Sintra, Dunkoro, Grey Boxer, Varanus, Back to Kill, and Dodu. Sorry about mispronouncing that one.
All of the close off in Twitch. And
also
Dodu-O
known as all
game.
Of the close off. And Randy of Sintra, also known as Zubat 321 in Twitch.
I just realized what all of the close off means.
You just figured it out now?
I'm a slow person.
I thought it was just somebody named Olivia for a while. Like, oh, it's Olivia Klozoff.
Yeah, that makes sense now. The top five decks, I don't know. You casted these. I would say that it looked like PFI did okay in the tournament in the final stages.
And when we say PFI, we are talking about Full Test Poor Infantry, which is a very popular deck on the ladder right now. It's a very strong deck. It's more difficult to beat than to win with. I think that's probably the most diplomatic way I can say it. And I also don't think that's untrue. But it's a very strong deck. It's got a lot of ways to thin your deck and consistently produce very strong turns. There are two variations of kind of a grave robbing ghoul based K-Ran based monster deck. Both Randy of Sintra and Back to Kill were running a really cool monster, like kind of a value monster, consume monster deck as well. And we did see a lot of that high cycle deck thinning Squirtle play as well.
Yeah, so really the top decks in the finals were kind of the top decks right now because the finals were played in the current patch. Mm-hmm. So the decks that you find on the ladder are going to be the decks that you see that you saw in the December Beta Brawl finals. So, we want to congratulate everybody once again for making the top eight. We're looking forward to the next tournament this month. And I think we're going to move into, since we're talking about Full Test Poor Infantry decks that make use of a certain new card called Marjoram. Mm-hmm. You've probably heard of it. There's been exploits, bugs, and abuse.
There have been, and we have official developer word on it. Just one more thing though about the tournament, since we are still talking about Full Test Poor Infantry and really strong decks, one of my favorite things about tournament play is that you need to see more than one or two decks succeed. So you get to see a nice variety. You get to see like what classes, even though if they're underrepresented, how they can be the strongest in a competitive format. It's one of my favorite things. But we're talking about abuse and exploits. So there was a post very recently, about a day ago, came in from the developers themselves. Basically, if you are a victim of mushroom abuse,
call 1-800.
Call 1-800.
Call 1-800-SHROOMS.
Call 1-800. They're going to get banned. Don't worry. So basically, we have been told that a minor patch is coming soon with some fixes to fix current exploits. It's not content-based, it's not balance-based, but it is going to be specifically to stop bug abuse. So we can expect that soon. I don't know if that's happened today, but I don't know if it's happened today
soon,
or it's coming
soon. I think there was just some posts in the Discord chat that it should be applied soon. Of course, we always talk about soon with trademark. But yeah, so we expect those fixes to come in shortly. And I think that the MMR is going to be reset. They're going to manually reset anybody's MMR who climbed the ladder using a margarine bug. And the bug, if we didn't explain it, by the time I think, you know, we're live, so never mind.
I don't think we need to explain it. I don't think it's...
Yeah,
we don't.
You can bug out and get a victory that you should never get with the Marjoram card. Mm-hmm. And so they're fixing that. So that's going to be gone. But that is something that's kind of rocked us a little bit, because there wasn't that much abuse going on to that level, mm-hmm. to where we saw someone climb very high on the ranks using a bug. We hadn't seen that anywhere. So besides our typical Scoia'tael abusers, Francesca cheaters, we hadn't seen anyone really climbing the ladder using something so horrible.
Yeah, it's not cool. I mean, we are beta testers, and this is part of that beta life. We will find exploits and bugs, and people will use them. And they will use them until they don't have to use them anymore. Personally, I think that it's got to be, I don't know what that kind of mindset is like, where you are in an atmosphere that essentially is a pre-release state. Like who's impressed by that? You know, like,
get inside the head.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Get inside the head of a cheater. How do you do it? Anyway, so people purposely using exploits will have appropriate punishments.
Smoke you later. You're gone.
Yeah. And they say, and Rethis is also saying that support and logs can show the difference between accidents and purposeful abuse. So don't worry.
Yeah. This should be early next week that's coming in. So we're posting and we're live today on Thursday.
Yeah.
So early next week being the 8th, 9th, 10th sort of portion of next week. Mm-hmm. So probably the 9th or 10th, hopefully, we get something about that. But again, I've never had it abused against me, but I know some of my friends who are higher ranked have actually had it against them. And it seems to be by the same kind of offender, maybe one or two people. So again, it was worthy of noting and the developers responding to, because again, this has not happened yet. So It's really good that we're in this beta environment where apparently people find it valuable to cheat.
There is support coming for you, just like HG3 said in chat, a post-traumatic shroom disorder. We'll never forget. It'll still wake you up at night, cold sweats, but you'll know that you're safe. It's okay. Until the next exploit, of course.
In a safe place here. So the next one. There's another thing that we've heard some responses about from the community and from the developers, and that's relating to the MMR grind. Mm-hmm. And MMR right now is your multiplayer rating, and you have a numerical rating that you use to climb the ladder in ranked mode, and you earn rating by winning matches and usually lose it by drawing or by losing a match. Mm-hmm. And there's diminishing returns on it based on the number of games played and many other factors that we're not quite privy to yet. So basically, the too long didn't read version is climbing is slower than CD Projekt Red is intended. Mm-hmm. And so we've been, you know, we've had ranked mode for a while now, and the highest ranked people are, what, 8?
Even 8 seems like, just knowing how the climb works and watching people stream and watching, like, the gains that you get as you get higher and higher and how it starts to get lower and lower. The idea that somebody even achieved 8, like, I know that there's somebody at the first place who's achieved 2100 match mating rate ranking, when I believe that's the highest anybody's had. So if that, maybe that is, I just can't imagine what 8, like, what, how long that takes. But I find it interesting that at one point we were told that it was expected that the hardcore players, like the players who play all the time, could have, in the original system, predictably gotten to rank 15 by now. So that's definitely, it's like halfway there. Almost.
Yeah.
Or like just a little over halfway. So tuning wise, I think it's cool that they tuned it a little harder. I think that it puts a lot of mystique on that 15th rank. Like, what does it look like after
a lot of mystique.
Yeah. A lot of mystique.
Like, you're winning, you're at rank 8 and you need 1400 more points to rank 15, and you get 4 points per game.
That is the most mysterious thing.
It's the most mysterious thing. So we do see that, you know, a lot of the top players currently have really, really good win rates. There's no high-end player without a good win rate. However, a lot of the players at the high end that have the lower win rates have a ton of games played. So it's kind of like this, like you invest more and more time, more and more games. You do get diminishing returns, but you do get to climb still as long as you maintain a positive win rate, which is good to see. I think it's just they're working on the tuning of it. And since this is the first time we've seen ranked mode, this is kind of something to be expected. I mean, it'd be worse if we were all 15 already, if there was hundreds of people at 15 and nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, and I've seen some level 40s, so we know that that's, I think that that's probably tuned right. I think like over time, like the actual leveling system is in a good place. I think that it should take a long time to get level 100. It should really mean something.
Yeah.
But the ranking system, the idea that, I mean, it's one thing to just to have a low rank and never really break through, but it's also another thing just to have an unachievably high rank. So I don't know. Do you think that we're going to see a full ladder wipe at some point? I mean, of course, there's going to be a season end, but I'm just curious how the matchmaking, how the actual ranking system will go.
So you're getting right into it, right? So
we're going to get knocked down, right? We're all going to go back to wood? I don't know.
We're all going to go back to wood league. So here's an idea, and this is probably something they've already considered. They used our casual MMR to base our starting point for this season's MMR in ranked mode. Mm. What if that's something they did that for the reason because they're going to use your ranked mode in season one at the end, like your MMR at the end of that season, to start your starting spot in the next season?
I think that's probably fair for them to do that. So just to reference, it's hard not to reference other games sometimes, especially when we're talking about an established ranking system. In the game Hearthstone, at first there was no calibration at the end of the season. Everybody was knocked back to basically like the lowest possible rating. Over time they changed that to give you a ranking based on your previous season's ranking. I would imagine that it's going to be somewhere there. I mean, you don't want to start the brand new season and be going up against like the best player in the world if you're the worst player in the world. I mean, obviously he's a very extreme example, but I imagine that you'd probably want to have something that would stagger the skill level of anybody kind of going into the new season, but still bringing it down in a way that the ladder climb is still exciting and you don't just kind of start so high that you can just kind of sit there and be happy about it.
Well, so. Rethas has posted in chat, and he said that he would like the average player to achieve around ranked 6 to 9, which currently isn't happening. We know that. You know, I think I'm only 6, and I've been playing quite a lot. I have over 150 games, mm-hmm. and I guess what they want most likely is something resembling a bell curve, where you have the meat of the players are in the middle ranks, being 6 to 9, and then, you know, less and less players are able to achieve 15, and there's a low amount of players, of course, that are below rank 6. So it's an amount of tuning to achieve that bell curve across the player population that they're trying to work on. And Gum Gum Face Punch says he likes the system the way it is right now.
Like so we'll see. Unachievable rank 15, like,
I don't know.
The highest rank is mid bronze. It's like
is
the
it?
Best player in the world. It's like you write guides for Gwent TV. It's like, I'm a mid bronze player, and like if you don't know, like out of context, it's like, well, I want to read the guide from the gold player. He doesn't exist. There is no such player.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. It is cool though. I do like that it's harsh, but. I mean, if there's unachievable ranks, then obviously there needs to be some tuning. But I do like that it's harsh, personally. And I'm not... You're a better player than I am. I think at least we can say empirically at this moment, you are much better. I took a long break off, but I'm not making excuses. You saw me stream a couple of days ago. I have some work to do, but...
You beat the crap out of me last night, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, well, thanks, Nub, for the deck.
Yeah. I can't
now I understand. Now I see.
Oh, I just can't do it. Yeah. So let's talk about, while we're talking about ranked mode, let's talk about some additional competitive play. Let's go into the Gwentleman Open, newly announced tournament series by the guys over at Gwentleman.com. The tournament is an open sign-up. You can find it on Challenge, and there's a Reddit post about it as well.
I got a link coming up right now for the chat.
And the link will also be in our show notes.
Yes.
The tournament takes place on the 21st of January, and it is an 8-round Swiss qualifier, and then that will determine the top 16 who compete in the January finals, which will take place on January 28th. So each of these is going to take place. There's going to be four rounds per day. The Swiss qualifier is four rounds on the 21st and four rounds on the 22nd.
So very cool stuff. It's good to have. I think it's really good to have the competitive scene continue to grow, continue to see a lot of interest. Already looking at some of already looking at the signups. I think we already have 104 people already there. I say
it
we. I'm not an organizer, but
yeah, 104.
We, as in the collective. We, as in the Gwent competitive community.
As in the hive mind.
As in the royal we. 104 people have already signed up, but it is an open tournament, so I do believe there is no limits. I think that they'll just make whatever amount that signs up. That'll just be how it is. And that's the cool thing about Swiss format and some other formats like that, in which it doesn't matter, like you don't have to necessarily have like that 4, 8, 16, 32, 64 kind of bracket, like, or else it doesn't work. Like, you find ways to make it work on a point system and matching you up against appropriate opponents. So it's going to look good. It's going to look good. It's already shaping up to be pretty popular already. I think 104 is nothing to sneeze at. It's a lot of people.
Oh yeah, yeah, so I think it'll be really fun to see how this one shakes out. I know that as the December beta brawl developed, watching the standings and watching the Swiss rounds kind of go on, and the way Swiss format works, if you're not familiar, is you play people who have the same win rate as you. So if you go 1-0, you're only going to play after the first round against somebody else in round two who is also 1-0, and then that continues 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, and that way you're playing someone who's sort of very, very competitive, and it also kind of thins the field of, you know, there's not going to be like 7 or 8 people who are 7-0 or 8-0 at the end of this qualifier. There should only be one, if any. So it's actually a really cool format, and I think it's perfect for Gwent.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to participating. I'm in it this year. This year. Yeah. 2017. It's this year.
It's this year. 27 tournaments in 2017. It's happening. We made it. Yeah, big things coming up. Big thing coming up this year for Gwent, and we're going to talk about what we think is coming up for the future of Gwent. But before that, Gray Boxer, since you're on the show and since you did make it third place in the December beta brawl, I think it'd be great if you could share with us your Dwarven Scoia'tael deck, and we're going to discuss that right after this.
Maybe not today and not tomorrow, but someday someone will find a way to take you down.
All right, so Gray Boxer, you got third place in the Beta Brawl tournament, and that's pretty good. That's pretty good. A lot of great players were part of the league, and you did it with in a style that a lot of people know you for, because people who tune into you on a regular basis, mainly on Mondays, know that you are a supporter of the city of Mahakam.
You this got is your, for Gum Gum.
You got your ale horn there. You have your dwarven beard on from time to time, and you know you've been the dwarf guy. So you take dwarfs into a competitive setting, and you made a deck work. I'm going to post the link to this deck that we're about to talk about right now in the chat, maybe you can tell us about kind of the decisions you made going through some of the games. We got to see you play in about 2 or 3 matches, I believe.
Yeah, 3
in the live cast with Faramir and I. And it was great to see it. You had a couple of double digit, approaching 50 strength dwarves.
Yeah.
You were using Quen at one point, although I don't think Quen is in this particular deck list. But
No, I removed Quen after the tournament. So the way that the finals worked for the December beta brawl is you made a deck list. You made you had 3 available decks. One deck was always banned, and against me, Northern Realms is always banned, because that sort of handles both the PFI cheese in case anybody wanted to play it, and it also handles if you want to play a strong Radovid control deck, you can go ahead and just ban Northern Realms. So I was forced to play Scoia'tael and Skellige.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't. Not only do I not really like the style of play of a standard Scoia'tael deck, I also kind of love dwarves. And so I built a deck based on making dwarves incredibly strong, and what we do is we simply just buff the ever-living crap out of resilient dwarves and just pray that they don't have Gigny.
So I want to just go over the deck list for the audio-only listeners, because we are a live podcast, and I did provide the link in the chat. But if you wanted to know what was in the deck and you're just listening, there's 2 Mahakam Guards, two Mahakam defenders, Girl Igni, Morin, Zoltan.
Morin's kind of like a Squaytel tech card that's kind of like our sixth silver that we swap out.
So you have a flex on that silver. We'll talk about the card. We'll talk about the card replacements. Zoltan Animal Trainer, Yorveth, and Triss round out your gold selection. Three Elven Mercenaries, two Blue Mountain Commandos, Barkley Elves, Yarpin Zigrin, three First Lights, two Swallow Potions, one Marjoram, one Decoy, one Teruvial, and of course, no deck is complete without Commander's Horn.
I don't build decks without it now.
Yeah. That's a good card.
Oh man, so that was the entire deck list. Thanks for speaking it all out there.
Yeah.
If you count it all up, I do have seven dwarves in the deck. So that seems like good karma. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I just got lucky because I played seven dwarves. So the thing is here is you just want to get your dwarves out and you want to try to use as much efficiency as possible and try to buffing the resilient ones. And really, it's sometimes it's weak to weather. But if someone doesn't have a weather answer for your dwarves, then they're going to have no answer. And it can pretty much outpower any deck in the game that doesn't run straight removal. Mm-hmm. So I was finding that it did really well against buffing monsters. It did really well against poor infantry. And it does well against Northern Realms decks that don't have more than one Gigny. Because this deck is weak to Gigny. It is weak to weather. But it can survive either one of those just fine. If you can combine both against it in a round, it's probably going to lose. But then again, so are a lot of other decks. So you can basically use your melee row dwarves to stack strength on the melee row. You can use Yarpin plus your mercenaries and Blue Mountain Commandos to stack strength on the siege row. You can choose which row to buff with Zoltan Animal Tamer, Swallow Potions, and other stuff. And then you finish it off with Commander's Horn.
So, also, oh, sorry.
I was going to say, you don't want to have one row that's too powerful. You don't want to have a perfect Gigny row or a perfect weather row. You want to kind of split your strength and kind of split the difference, and you still can usually power through because of the amount of buffs that we run.
Also, I forgot to mention the leader is Ethna. It is not Bruver. It is Ethna is the leader of this particular deck. I'd also like to point out Gum Gum Face Punch made fun of me for calling it Zoltan Animal Trainer. I think that's what the name should be. You train parrots. You don't tame them. Show me this wild, ferocious parrot that needs to be tamed.
Marshall Windbag is ferocious.
You need to train a parrot. Anyway, Zoltan Animal Tamer. Thanks very much.
So Naga says, weak to Igni and weather, basically weak to the meta. Yeah, so that's kind of the thing about the deck is I was still able to climb to about 1850 with it. So it's not that weak to the meta. It's just weak to the proper card draws to counter it, as is almost every deck. So I'm not going to defend it against both weather and Igni. Of course, as I just said, it's going to beat it. But it's really fun to play. You get super strong dwarfs and... I don't know. It won games. What else can I say about it? It's really fun to play. So if you've seen it, it's on GwentDB, and if you want to try it out, please give it a shot. And if you have any questions, you can always hit me up on Twitter, and I'll be happy to commiserate if you're losing to Gigny and weather.
Yeah, and I think we could talk about the meta decks that everybody's very familiar with, and we will talk about the other Squaretel meta deck as well.
Yes.
But one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this deck is that it was maybe an unconventional, highly competitive deck. So hopefully people who have been like wishing and hoping for dwarves to have a place to be outside of just kind of fun Monday streams.
We want a home.
They want a home. They're trying to branch out.
Macahum, as I spelled it on my overlay.
Macahum. So there you go. So the other Squaretel deck is a deck that was sent over to me by a friend of the show, Nub. He sent me basically. I don't know if this is what you might call a cookie cutter. I don't think it is, but it may be. It may be a very, very close, like the core of the deck may be very similar, and there are some changes you can make. But the Squaytel decks that are really burning up the top of the ladder right now are much more about letting your bronzes do a lot of work early and thinning your deck down to possibly drawing all of your cards by the end of the game, and it does happen. So it's really more of a of a Scoia'tael cycling type deck, and I can provide an image link, but I can't. This one's going to come from my other account here, but I can provide an image link. And this is essentially the deck that I have been trying to get a little bit better with, as I needed more of a competitive deck if I actually wanted to take it unranked. I was having a little bit too much fun with whatever I could concoct, but
Well, and this deck also, this is different. Swim also has a really, really nice deck. It's also, I think, the top deck right now on GwentDatabase.com or GwentDB.com. And it's similar. Mm-hmm. But again, it's only similar insofar as it runs supports and a ton of mercenaries and Blue Mountain flippers. Mm-hmm. So really, the difference between, you know, and you'll get into this, Swim's deck does run Siri Dash and Milva. And I think you also, and Triss.
Right.
And I think you run similar cards. I think you'd have a different gold, right?
No, actually, I run this deck. I tried it. So we, Greybox and I scrimmed a little bit yesterday with this deck. I made a change where a suggested change to me to put a Lacerate in and drop a Shrooms, which did actually win me a game. Won one of my games, I think, the fact that I had one of those in my graveyard for Aglaze. For the audio-only listeners, this deck runs a single Hawker Healer, 3 Elven Mercenaries, 3 Blue Mountain Commandos, 3 Vriad Vanguards, Aglaze, Yorveth, Triss, and Milva. Those are your golds. King of Beggars, Johnny, Decoy, Aromancy, 3 First Lights, 1 Mardrum, 1 Lacerate, Yavin, and Kieran. So,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
It's January now. You can't sing that anymore.
You'll
get arrested by the Christmas police.
Don't take my Christmas away, Beard. You had your Christmas on stream and on the podcast. Let me sing.
Go drink a pumpkin spice latte or whatever. Whatever you people do. That's what's in the ale horn. So, I mean, so the idea of this deck, functions a little differently in that the deck is about your bronze is doing pretty much as much work as possible, and whenever you have an opportunity to thin your deck, you do so, and every time you do so, you strengthen your board at the same time, which makes it very powerful. You can really kind of play, you play your mercenaries, you bounce your mercenaries with Blue Mountain Commandos. You draw out more mercenaries with First Light Rally. You can sometimes bring out your Hawker Healer. If you're stacking a row, that row gets very strong. You can use Blue Mountain Commando as well to bounce your Hawker Healer to make a very threatening row. And constantly keep pace while never really giving up. Like, you never give up any strength, and you keep pace and you keep thinning your deck. So eventually you're just left with really good cards. Any cards you don't get, you can Brewer. Brewer is the leader in this case. You can kind of take it out on command. Your Decoy can be used against an enemy spy, or it can be used just to bounce back a mercenary to play it again to continue thinning. Johnny is useful for round 3 after you've already gotten Kieran back into your hand.
Or he's your fifth gold card.
He's your fifth gold card as well. Since you're drawing so many cards, it is not uncommon to Johnny away a gold card in round 2 and then draw that exact same card in round 3 because you only have one card left in your deck. So that's really good for Johnny, as well as being a 6-strength body as well, and a total smudger, if you ask me.
Yeah, he's a total smudger. No, this deck. Okay, so you guys know Mixbeard has been on a break. We've had a break from Commander's Horde podcast for about a week and a half now.
Too long.
10-12 days, actually, way too long. And he hasn't played a whole lot, except for his monsters decks, and last night he and I scrimmed, and he played me, what, 5-6 times?
It was no less than five.
With this deck? It was no less than 5. And he played me with his Scoia'tael deck, and I played Drunkoro's Knight deck. I played Dwarfs. I played my Skellige deck, and I played...
Full Test Poor Infantry.
I did play Poor Infantry. I could not beat this deck, period. I mean, I had good draws. I had great draws. I had good strategy, and I had card advantage or as close to card advantage as you can get against Scoia'tael. This guy, in round 3, with this deck, every single game, was ahead by 2 cards, period. And the cards in his hand, they were all gold. Like, what are you going to do? You can't do anything about that, you know?
But
it's a very powerful deck.
It took a couple of games, I think, for me to really understand it. Here's the thing about streaming. I think anybody who watches me stream knows that I believe in things like streamer madness. But there's also something else that I'd like to say about streaming is, like, there's kind of like, it's like a bear for me. Like, if I took 9 days off and I came back and I've streamed 3 days now, and I feel like in none of those days was I able to learn in the same way that I would learn if I was just playing off stream. Like, there was like a barrier of, there was a barrier of actually improving my play. It just felt like I was making the same mistakes over and over again. So right. Playing off stream is just like, it's like the best feeling in the world, because it feels like I'm actually, I don't know, I'll come up with a good term for it. But essentially, if you have no time to, it's like taking the same exam over and over again without ever studying. That's probably the best way to
do it. Oh, man. So we're having a discussion in chat right now, even though Brewverhoog isn't the leader for this deck or my deck.
No, he is. He's the leader for the deck that I was talking about.
Sorry, he is the leader for your deck. He's not the leader for mine. My Dwarven deck doesn't have a Dwarven leader, but yours does.
Yes.
So how do we pronounce the Brew? Is it Brewverhoog or is it Brewverhoog? Because I think it has to be, like, Brewverhoog.
Or is it... Is
Brewer.
It, I think it's Brewer. You know what? Maybe
it's not,
maybe somebody who
it's
knows
Hoover, like a vacuum. It's Brewer.
Hanging with Mr. Brewer. Brews before Hoogs. I say Brewer Hoog. I hope that's okay with everybody.
Developer confirmed. It's Oo.
All right. So those are the two. Those are two very competitive. Well, competitive in a tournament standpoint, and what I believe is up there on the ladder, two competitive Scoia'tael decks. We will be posting, I posted an image in the chat, but I'll be posting an actual deck builder link of that Scoia'tael deck in the show notes if and when you decide to seek this out on iTunes or on CommanderSorn.com once we actually post the audio version of it. So feel free to take a look at those decks. Try them out yourself. I imagine we only have, 4 to 6 weeks left of this meta, and I'm probably overshooting it as well because we do get patches pretty frequently. So it's good to get acclimated with the stuff that the top players are playing, or at least variations of them. And I think that the concept of deck thinning is really at play in this deck here. Yeah,
and it's some honorable mentions for this because we didn't focus on the full test deck that Duncoro created, and it's essentially focusing on thinning, but in the best way that Northern Realms knows how, because Northern Realms doesn't have mercenaries, but Northern Realms has Reaver Scouts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what Northern Realms can do is full test the Reaver Scout and then get a ton of Reaver Scouts out and Raidaining Elites out, and then you guys have seen this if you play at all on the ranked mode or even in casual mode, you can find this deck where they play a Raidaining Elite, they play the Reaver Scout, then they copy the Reaver Scout, and then they play all of the Reaver Scouts from their deck, and then they copy the next Raidaning Elite.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the next round, they can use bronze medics to get the Reaver Scouts out and then thin the rest of the medics out. And so what's left in their deck? Well, they have Priscilla and King of Beggars to look for stuff. So that's kind of Northern Realms' way of getting to do what Scoia'tael does. So it's actually really, really fun to play. And it's sort of almost like a predictable round one, which may be its weakness. But again, it's also the way that Northern Realms gets thinning. It's really cool.
Speaking of King of Beggars, I wanted to propose this question to you and to anybody else who's listening, but King of Beggars, could that be the most underrated card? When we were looking at the cards, like when we saw that block of 20 cards and we said, this card's probably pretty good, this card's probably not very good. I think that King of Beggars didn't have a lot of endorsement at the beginning. And I think that he is pretty fun. He's a pretty fun card to have, and he definitely serves the purpose of deck thinning and that he'll always pull another card out of your deck. And I think that by virtue of that alone, that makes him a very good card. And you also can control it as well. It's not pull a random card. And you always know, if you're keeping track of what's going on, what card you're going to get. I think King of Beggars might be the sleeper card of the set. What do you guys
think?
Sleeper card of the set? Is that a bold thing to say?
Yeah, we're going to jump. You want to just kind of jump right into the community section here?
Yeah, we'll pose
the question to the chat.
So we'll pose the question to the chat. We'll talk into the community, and I'm just going to, so I'm going to play. We'll take a quick break here, and 1 second. Oh, just a second here. I forgot about doing this live. Yes.
Coming up.
Yeah. So we are going to be talking to the community about questions like that and more right after this. So we'll start off with that first question. King of Beggars. Sleeper card of the set? What are people thinking?
Do you want to take the position that it is, and then I'll nominate my choice?
Of the sleeper card of the set? Absolutely. What do you think is the sleeper card of the set?
Oh, well, why don't we talk about King of Beggars first?
Well, we'll talk about King of Beggars. So King of Beggars is good. If the meta is really balancing around deck thinning, then King of Beggars is a neutral card that any deck can use to thin their deck. So now you can make an argument that if King of Beggars is so good for this reason, why is Roach a little absent compared to King of Beggars? Although I see Roach from time to time, but I think I've been seeing King of Beggars more and more as we've gone through the meta. So I think having a neutral option for deck thinning, much like Roach is as well, it makes him a strong choice for a silver slot.
Yeah, and I think that any card with thinning, such as Priscilla, is going to be incredibly strong. And that's sort of, I mean, what's funny is King of Beggars often gets you Priscilla if you play King of Beggars in Northern Realms. So, in other decks, I wonder, like, I don't like it in Skellige at all, because pulling a Priestess on demand is not very valuable. And I find that it's not as useful as in monsters, because you have capped strength that you can pull. Okay,
the other one. I like that it pulls ghouls, though.
Okay, so but that's capped strength. The biggest unit it's going to eat maybe is 10. Most likely it's going to eat something between 3 and 6, because you play ghouls and you know they never eat anything big.
Yeah, the smallest
thing.
Never
happens.
They're never hungry. What's going on?
Never lucky. So your strength is going to be capped. You're going to get 4 plus maybe 10 out of your ghouls. So you're capped at 14 strength, okay? If you play King of Beggars into Priscilla, then any silver or bronze card can come out of your deck then. So not only do you get thinning out of it, you also get your choice of an awesome card. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the ceiling's a lot higher for King of Beggars in Northern Realms. And the same goes with Scoia'tael, unless they're playing traps.
So when we say sleeper card, I think we're talking about a card that kind of passed. I don't know if it necessarily means the card was panned as being bad, but I think it was a card that just sort of didn't really raise our ears, like when we saw how Coral was going to end up, and how when we saw that Kayran, now it's base strength, you add it to, oh, this card's better than we thought. And people thought that, you know, certain cards were just, and Geralt Ard, of course, being very strong. That was accurately predicted, I think. But a card that just kind of maybe people didn't think too much about, and then all of a sudden they're appearing in more and more decks more frequently. Obviously, neutral cards will appear more, because there are more decks that can include them. But we aren't necessarily talking about a card that isn't being used at all. Like, I think somebody said the Kiramets is a sleeper card. That is not a sleeper card, because that card is...
I think it's the joke, right?
That card's not... Was that a Kappa? Was there a Kappa
still,
there?
It's still asleep, according to Aldo Jr.
Still asleep, yeah. It's a sleeping card, perhaps, is what we mean to say.
No, I'm saying that Gels is a sleeper OP card.
He's still he's such a sleeper card. He's still a sleeper from the vanilla set.
Yeah, so Gum Gum's saying that he thinks that Siri Dash is a sleeper card.
Siri Smash.
Siri Smash. Siri with many nicknames, but that's featured in Swim's deck, 2K plus MMR, so seems
from
good.
Trash to Smash, the Siri story.
The Siri story. And so, yeah, let's see. Coral. We know Coral's sort of a valuable mention, but at the same time, she's been amazing.
I think Coral looked good out the gate, but before the gate opened, it was a different
there.
Card.
She is an auto include, though. Basically, the nerf to Ermion made room for Coral, in my opinion.
I would agree with that.
So now Coral's basically your auto include because she's so strong. One side weather is very strong, and this is the first card of that type. So Coral probably not a sleeper.
A non mirrored weather effect, is that what you mean by that type?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hmm. And Aldo Jr. is just saying the problem with Siri Trash is just visual. It's missing the Scoia'tael banner.
Okay, we got to stop calling her Siri Trash if we're saying that she's like,
right.
I know it's funny. I know puns are the best, but we can't just keep calling her that. That's
so let's ask everybody. So we asked this on Twitter about a week ago, and we got a lot of really excited and kind of awesome responses. So let's ask the chat right now. What are you most looking forward to in 2017 in the world of Gwent?
For sure. And while you guys are answering, we can...
share some thoughts,
we can
right?
share some thoughts of some of the tweets that we got earlier in the week. I'll start one off, and we can go one for one. How about that? So what are we looking for? What are we looking most forward to in 2017 in the world of Gwent? So we got a lot of tweets. We got a lot of responses to this one. We love when you guys tweet back at us. It's like really the best feeling. BJ the Brave, a very clear answer. Nilfgaard. Definitely, yeah. Definitely needs Nilfgaard. He's looking forward to Nilfgaard, and he's said some other stuff that we'll cover in a moment. But Nilfgaard is probably number one on a lot of people's lists. It's probably a lot of people saying that. NG, Nilfgaard.
I'm going to tell you right now that Nilfgaard is at the tippy top of my list.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Faramir responded. Also, by the way, tons of support in chat for Nilfgaard. C-Sec saying Nilfgaard. Nanosection's excited for Nilfgaard. Skellige Gwent is excited for Nilfgaard.
Mm-hmm.
DG Thunder is excited for Nilfgaard. I mean, campaign in Nilfgaard from Gum. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Faramir said, though, that he wants to get a decent collection to start kicking butt in tournaments. And I presume that means, you know, never passing.
Yeah,
or
never
always
passing.
Do you always pass or never pass?
Always passing under a specific set of circumstances, no matter what.
Yeah, that's
Faramir,
what
we love you, but that was funny. Some of that was really funny, the reactions.
So he, like, wanted everybody to pass so badly.
Yeah.
It was like he knows the code for Gwent, and when the Turing machine is down by like a certain number of points, it always passes. And so like he has the same mentality. He's like, you're down by this many cards, there's no way you're gonna catch up, just pass.
Well, I mean, he's a professional card player, so you could say he's probably part card playing robot in a way.
The Gwentleman also responded that they're very excited for Nilfgaard.
Yeah, yeah. Devil Driven is looking forward to new leader cards.
Oh yeah,
because that can shake up a lot. Like a mechanic can be added to one of these cards that makes, you know, a bunch of cards that aren't good all of a sudden really good. So I think that those are going to be really meta shake up, meta defining cards, leader cards for sure.
Yeah. So basically, Auto Junior. I want to say your actual Twitter handle. It's Z Kempaches. Spectator mode is what you're most excited for. You said you've been watching more than you actually play, which is almost the same for me at this point. I watch streams all day long.
Yeah.
I'm always watching Manti and Chaotic Priest.
Although, Junior, I get your Twitter name. You have Z's on each end of it, but it's Kempaches from Bleach, if I'm not mistaken. Mythic Pilot is looking forward to a Northern Realms rework.
Okay.
You have something to say
Mythic
about that?
Pilot. So Mythic Pilot is a Northern Realms fan, and he's looking forward to a rework. And I wonder if he's looking forward to a rework that simply gives win conditions different from Resurrecting Baron with Shani in round 3. Like, I wonder, like, what he means by rework. And like, to that end, I did shoot him a couple messages. I just wanted to see, like, what he was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, you know, what do you mean by rework? And, like, I'm going to let you talk for just a moment as I pull those up, because they were just there a few days ago. We've been chatting.
Right. Well, I think the general idea, and I couldn't source any quote for this, but I know because we are in Discord, and we do know that we have a lot of developer contact in the Gwent Discord, that there are things that are said, and I know that the idea that Northern Realms is not where they like it could be a little bit more fun to play against, I think, with the way medics and the way some of the chaining works, and actually provide some more interesting decisions to play as. So I think that there's probably, if I had to guess, where some of the tweaking might be is just in the general gameplay of it. I think that it has an identity right now. I think that the poor infantry phenomenon is pigeonholing them a little bit. Although I think that Dunkoro put together a really cool deck that doesn't use Reaver Hunters, that does use Reaver Scouts and Redanian Elites to great effect. We talked about that a little earlier. Those are the two identities kind of right now that are really good. Foltest is back on the throne, you could say.
Yeah, Foltest does really well, like we said, in specifically in the knight deck more than poor infantry. I think poor infantry above like 1600 is just not surviving. Really, what Mythic Pilot was looking forward to was something to along the lines of a Baron nerf, and I think it's probably because it's, you know, Northern Realms does have an identity, and the identity is not about demoting. I think it's more about promoting. So maybe we're looking forward to some changes to Northern Realms that focus more on the faction ability and less around degilding, you know?
Just want to call out Skelly GG said, we both dressed up. Will the defendant please rise? Like we're going to court.
Yeah. Oh, Gray Boxer, it comes from me.
He's talking about who's saying what, I think, is the main thing. It's great. By the way, thanks so much, Rethis, for hanging out in the chat. It's definitely an added bonus to have a developer in the chat when we go live, so the chat can get answers even more directly. Sometimes when we do live shows, our information is Coral is 7. She's 6. We get the information
we do that kind of thing
off the top of our head wrong. I think that was somebody sent me a note saying that their favorite part of our last live show was us getting numbers because we saw like release images and then we saw them in the actual client and they ended up being different.
Yeah, and I wanted we did have a Facebook comment for the same question, and this one comes in from Kevin Lefant, which has an accent over one of the letters, so it makes me want to say it in a French way, so may I?
You may.
Kevin Lefant.
Well, do you need permission from me?
Yeah, I need permission from you. Okay. He says he's looking forward to restoration, not resurrecting permadeath units. Mm. And Sigurdifa from resing permadeath units... and adding permadeath ability Baron, which we've confirmed is probably going to happen. And he wants to make the poor infantry copy from shiny non-gold.
Okay.
But that the problem with that, I think, is the wording of the poor infantry, is that it creates an identical copy. And so if the first copy is gold, I wonder if it's a priority thing where you can have it copy before it's gilded. You know what I mean?
It's funny, all five of his points, and then his last point was remove mushrooms. Like, it sounds like all five of his points. Not that we're saying that we don't want people. We want more cards, not less cards. Come on.
Oh yeah, don't remove. We only want you to remove Scoia'tael as a faction. We don't want you to actually remove mushroom cards.
Dwarven just faction replaces.
Delete Scoia'tael. Add Mahakam. Okay, this is my only recommendation. I think that certain people are going to be upset with that. Sorry, Powell. I'm sorry.
But isn't it in lore, Bruverhoog discourages young dwarves from joining Scoia'tael? Is that not true?
Yeah, he's like the level-headed dwarven leader, basically. Yeah.
Why can't you just start a nice bank in Novigrad?
Yeah. So we got a really nice email from Klingster.
Yeah. We do have a really nice... You want me to read this one?
Yeah.
All right. Dear Grey Boxer and McBearded, do you offer anything like A Complete Idiot's Guide to Gwent or Gwent for Dummies? I like the game and the lore, but I cannot seem to win. Should I play the tutorial again? Do you have any advice? Sincerely, Klingster. So, first of all, Klingster, thanks so much for the email. And I think I think our response to this was basically that A Complete Guide to Gwent would be an incredible undertaking considering how many different interactions there are between cards and how this is still the beta and there are some things that they need to be experienced to be completely understood. I think that's a good way of saying it. So the game is constantly in flux on top of that because changes are still being made. But if anybody wants a more accessible kind of bare bones starting from scratch take on Gwent from us, I would like to remind and draw your attention back to episode 10. Episode 10, it's called Building Blocks, and we spend the majority of the episode talking about some more basic concepts about Gwent, such as card advantage, deck thinning, what best good times to pass, how to play to score, and other things like that, and deck building, proper use of silvers and golds, some things that, because Gwent right now, and I don't mean this as a positive or a negative descriptor of the game, but I think Gwent right now is a very hardcore game. It requires a deep amount of knowledge to completely understand. And even the best players still make mistakes. And I think you can always say that's going to happen in a lot of card games, even card games that have a lower learning curve than Gwent. You'll still make mistakes. But sometimes the mistakes that are made are they're unique. Like you didn't know the game worked that way until you saw it happen that way. And then maybe you won't see that interaction for another 100 games.
So like people try to use full test to copy taller or something.
Well, there's that stuff that you immediately realize
it
is wrong.
It breaks. As soon as you do it, it's like, what? It just fizzled? Why?
Oh, does it let you do it even though it doesn't work?
it lets you spend it, and it doesn't do anything.
Oh, why? See, I didn't even know that. See, there's still things like that that I don't. I mean, you've played more games than me, probably. Probably you've played more games than me by a fair margin, especially not just because I went on break, but you've always streamed longer than me. But yeah, there are some interactions. Like, there's also things like Johnny doesn't put the card on the bottom of the deck like it says it does. So, but it is beta. That's the point. It is beta, and you know, ultimately, changing a tooltip, there's a lot of localization involved in that. Everybody understands that it is not a simple, you know, you can't just say just change this or just fix this. But when we're talking about the basic stuff, episode 10, our building blocks episode, it's an episode we're pretty proud of.
Yeah.
You should still be able to find it on CommanderSworn.com or on kind of the back issues of your feed, depending on how you pick up the podcast.
Yeah, and I also want to send you to some good friends of the show over there at Gwent City. They recently published a video called Beginner Gwent Tactics, Round 1, and it's a visual guide to getting yourself on the winning path. And I want to send you there in case you don't want to go listen to, you know, an older episode of ours and you want to see something and you want to see someone play and talk you through some of the moves. I'm going to put this link in the chat, and we're going to have it in the show notes from our good friends HG3 and Mancy over at Gwent City.
And there are lots of content creators that have focused on this topic, because I think that with a game hardcore like Gwent, and I say hardcore as opposed to casual, I think that's the spectrum there. In a game like this, there are a lot of people that want accessibility to be, like, we want this game to be accessible. All of us want this game to be more accessible, because that means that the game's going to grow, and the game growing is better for everybody. So... there are a lot of streamers, there are a lot of YouTubers out there that have focused their content on accessibility and learning how to play Gwent, because this game can be complicated. The tutorials are better than they've ever been, but sometimes things in action, seeing certain cards in action, seeing cards that are considered very good cards, Gwent City is one of many content creators out there. It's hard to just name them all right now, because the community is growing every day. But to name one would be Gwent City. To name many, you can find it probably on your YouTube listing. But definitely look around. Get as many opinions as you need. Gwent.
Yeah, so
lots of stuff going on.
So I think we got some talk going on in the chat, just quite a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, let's see. ST and lower ranks get a lot of help from Hawker support plus Adrenaline Rush. Yeah, that's actually a decent winning tactic. Early on, that was winning a lot on the casual ladder, right? Using Adrenaline Rush on your supports and getting the mercenary spam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Rethos has confirmed that further improved tutorial and AI modes are coming in the future. Awesome.
Excellent.
Cool. So we're getting Nilfgaard, we're getting a campaign, and we're getting improved Turing machine. Sounds good.
And I imagine that tooltips and UI will all continuously be evolving. I think in the episode in which we talked to Faramir, we were talking about how Adrenaline Rush and Resilient has a very clear visual indicator as to what it does, and when you see that, you know that unit isn't moving. So things like that on other cards will be just much clearer to kind of reference when you see something that you understand what it does. And then new cards can be created with these symbols, and it would be a bit clearer, I suppose.
So Aldo Jr. wants me to ask you about his question yesterday about the subject that I brought up earlier about Northern Realms sort of being a demote-based faction right now.
Yes, and I will tell you, I'll tell you exactly what Aldo Jr. sent me. He sent it to me in a Twitch direct message, so I didn't have that. I didn't have
join Discord. Send it on Discord, man.
Yeah, I told him it was cool for him to do that. Junior Aldo Jr. also said McBearded teaching somebody how to win Kappa. First of all, I see you. Yeah. Those who can't do, teach. Also, give me a couple more days. I'll get back to where I was.
My grandmother was a teacher, and she would be very offended at you, McBeard.
Oh, because she could do it. She could do it and teach it just the same.
Shame.
Go through the chat a little bit more, and I'll get this. Great question from Junior Aldo Jr.
Yeah, so Hydra Marine wants to know if seasons are going to normally be 2 months long, will this one be shorter? That's a good question. I would like to know. I think that they have said this season will be longer than normal. And now that I say that, I guarantee they said that it would be shorter than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Clan Siegfried Raider says you prefer Northern Realms being demote-based over promote-based, that's an interesting question, right? Because Northern Realms as a faction has the identity of promoting because of the faction ability sort of synergizing with that, and it has leaders that have that synergy as well. But it also, until Shackles, it had the only units that could demote too. So being a military Northern Realms sort of faction flavor, isn't it true that it's possible that demoting is just as much a part of Northern Realms as promoting?
I think before Dimerdeem Shackles was in the game, I thought it was cool that Northern Realms was the only faction that could do it, but they only had one card that can do it, so it wasn't so much like an identity-based thing, like when a gold card appears, like that is very much faction identity, as opposed to one unit demoting and it kind of being reliant on drawing that unit and not really building a deck around it, but building that into any deck you build. So Junior Aldo's junior question was basically a question about the strength level of Kedwini Sargon, if it should be nerfed or not. His argument is that demoting is stronger than it used to be, as you can now demote into weather. And I think in general, the card is very swingy for a bronze card. It does something very unique and something very strong for a bronze card.
Yeah.
He suggests that it should have a lower strength. I am summarizing, but he was suggesting that it should have a lower strength. And I think that basically using weather and Kedwini Sargon together is probably maybe the highest swinginess of strength that a bronze card could provide. Correct me if I or Junior Aldo Jr. is wrong. I don't necessarily think... See, I feel like the card is okay, but there is a good point made in that it can be very swingy, and it also provides some incredible combos and tactics, such as demoting Baron, demoting Yennefer, and bringing Baron back with Shani. All of that is possible because of Kedwini Sargon. Well, now that Dimerdeem Shackles is in the game, that's not necessarily true. But Kedwini Sargon is arguably better than that card is
easily,
a large margin. Imagine Dimerdeem Shackles also
did
6 damage.
You actually would lose 2 strength by playing Shackles.
So yeah, yeah.
It would be a pure setup play, and right now you can play Sargon as a get ahead play. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't lose your guild if you use it on your own unit. And I don't want to get into whether or not it should be 5 strength or 6 strength or 4 strength. Like, I don't really care about that so much as I feel like the card has a place in the game, and the fact that it's swingy probably isn't enough of a reason for them to remove the strength or reduce the strength, rather. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of bronze cards that are swingy. Clan Heime Scald is swingy. Hawker Support is swingy. You can use a Hawker Support plus Blue Mountain Commando and get 20 or 30 strength out of 2 bronze cards. And so in the correct situation, which is where you have an opponent's gold unit sitting in weather that either you or they created, and you happen to be holding a card that can demote that unit, yes, you're going to get some swing. But again, it's not really any more or less swing than other bronze cards with high upside provide.
Mm-hmm. Hydra Marine actually makes a very good point that Griffin is one of those cards that has a very strong ability and is also 6 strength. And Mythic Pilot makes the point that Kedwini Sargon is melee and can get weathered itself and has to go to a very specific place. So it's not that it's too strong. Junior Aldo Jr. is now clarifying, my point is that Sargon will have a strong ability, and even when it doesn't work, it's a 6 strength with no risk, which is too much for a bronze. I think that the risk is that it is 6 strength and not 8. I think
not
that...
What do you think? I was going to say not 8, but also, I mean, I have hundreds of games logged in casual and ranked mode as Northern Realms. I was really, really into Radovid for a while there, and I played a lot of Northern Realms ranked mode. You guys know that I played a lot of full test with my Beauty and the Beast deck way back in the day. And, I mean, this happens all the time. You medic your sergeant, and it de-guild something you didn't want to de-guild. Like, on a row you planned to weather or were weathered. You can demote things of your own, and you don't have a choice. So sometimes you don't want to demote your units. Sometimes gold strength is great, especially when Bork was slightly better than it is now. So I feel like, and you can still demote Bork just by a medic RNGing out a unit. So additionally, if you play it, you have to demote something. So it does sort of balance, because while you can select an enemy unit to demote, you also are forced to demote your own unit if it's the only gold unit on the board. And, I mean, is that great? No. And so again, it's kind of got some low end. It's an easily weatherable 6-strength unit that might demote your own stuff, or it's a 6-strength unit that demotes your own stuff and sets you up, or it's a 6-strength unit that demotes somebody else who's sitting in weather and then they lose strength. So that's kind of like the three plays you get out of Kedwenny Sergeant.
It can do a lot. And then I'm reminded of Ancient Foglet, which is also a 6-strength card that's kind of, that can get pretty crazy as well. I think that it's okay for factions to have these very unique cards that are around 5 or 6 strength. It's, you can't have every card do the same thing, and you can't have everything just kind of be a static this equals this. So I think that it's probably, just in my personal opinion, okay where it is. But I think that in the future of Northern Realms, perhaps there's a different idea that they have for this card, or they have a different idea for promotion and demotion in general. I'm very excited to see where that pans out. But thanks for everybody who chatted with us in the chat here, who sent in tweets and sent in emails as well. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Commander's Horn, and you can email us at commandershornpodcast@gmail.com. But we're going to move on here. We're going to close things off. There is one thing we'd like to share with you first, and first, right off the top here. We have been doing this for 18 weeks now, and we have gotten a lot of support from the community. We think it's great that all of you come out, hang out with us on a regular basis, and tune into us on a weekly basis. And we have started our Patreon page.
You guys rock! I was gonna say
there were some people reached out to us when we talked about podcast hosting and what we're actually capable of doing on a month-by-month basis and what's actually sustainable. So we are working through how this is going to appear, but our page is live. You can search Commander's Horn on Patreon, and there will be a link in the show notes to our Patreon page. We would be nowhere without you. And if you ever wanted to support us and have some more content from us, some more interaction from us, and be a greater part of the show and support this podcast, now you can through Patreon. So thanks for everybody who even asked the question if something like this exists. It's our pleasure to bring this, and it's very exciting for us to come up with new ways to engage and new ways to give you quality content that we're very proud of and that you enjoy, because it is an absolute pleasure to be part of this community. And take it away, Josh.
Well, I was going to say that we really have a great time doing this, and we would love to do it more. We'd like to have the ability to upload all the content we actually want to upload and not get hit with the upload limits of our current podcast hosting service. So we're hoping to be able to increase those limits. And as an independent podcast, having viewers who are dedicated to helping us increase the content and giving more and more and more, that's what we want to do. Like, we want to be able to give as much as possible. And you know, that's really the idea here behind the Patreon. We've been asked about it for quite some time, and McBeard was, I don't know, you put together a pretty good page pretty quickly, huh, guys?
I didn't want it to make it too busy or too crazy, but I do want it to be very clear that when we get things together, that it's only going to be growing from there. But I didn't want to lose too much time kind of planning out all these extravagant things that that would only make us more thinner and thinner and have less hair on our heads as we go. But I think that we started off at a great place. It's really about making sure that the people who support us can continue to get great content from us. And in turn, as we receive support, we can continue to provide more and more frequent content. And even at the level of content that we've been providing so far, it's already been so fulfilling. It's been the most creatively fulfilling thing that I've ever done. And I just look forward to that continuing.
You love
it. So thanks to everybody who reached out about that.
Yes, and thanks to everyone for listening today. Thanks for being a part of the live show, being a part of the audience and interacting with us, because it's been great to read your comments and having a ton of discussion, especially about the Northern Realms decks and the Scoia'tael decks. And if you can always find us on Twitter if you have any more questions. That's where we got most of our comments today, was from Twitter, and we're on Gray Boxer Gwent. That's me. Dang it. Plug it myself.
Well, John, just tell us where we can find you outside of Commander's Horn.
Well, you could find Commander's Horn at Commander's Horn on Twitter. And you can email us at commandershornpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find me on Twitter at GrayBoxerGwent. I can't believe I accidentally just self-plugged.
Throw the plugs up in the chat. Throw the plugs up.
I want to see all the plugs. No, that's with those. And I'm on twitch.tv/grayboxer.
You can find me streaming on a daily basis. On weekdays, I start at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 10 p.m. Sorry, I had to do the conversion in my head. 10 p.m. Central European Time. I stream Monday to Friday, and I occasionally stream on the weekend as well for the odd chill stream. It's always Gwent. It's always been Gwent, except for before Gwent when it was Witcher. But it's always been Witcher-based. So you can always find Gwent content from me on Twitch at McBearded, and you can reach me on Twitter as well at McBeardCH.
Yeah, guys, and I just wanted to say again that we appreciate you coming out to support and hang out with us today. We love you all, and you can expect more live shows in the future if you like this format.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, this is Gray Boxer, and for McBeard, to you all, best of luck.
On the path.